Thank you for a beautiful day and for the revelation that's coming forth. We thank you because you have heard us in the request that we made of you at this time concerning your revelation to our hearts. I thank you, Father God, because I'm speaking that revelation and the hearts that are hearing, Lord, are understanding it in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. Now, in continuation of what we have been discussing all these days, we have been speaking on a spiritual economics that will title it, and this will be the 10th day that we'll be discussing on this matter. And I think that God really is doing something in our lives. I've been blessed myself. In fact, there was one of the teachings we gave some time ago, when we talked about sowing in tears. If you remember, that was about 3 sessions ago. It really blessed me, okay? And I believe that it's blessed those who listen to it also. But we'll continue today and talk about something that's... Well, again, I won't title it until the end so that I don't give it a wrong title. Is that all right? But I have a particular thing in my mind that I want to share with us this afternoon. All right, so in starting, let's open to Genesis chapter 1. I'll read from verse 27. And God created man in his own image, and in the image of God he created him. Male and female he created them. And God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and rule over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the sky and over every living thing that moves on the earth. Then God said, behold, I have given you every plant yielding seed which is on the surface of all the earth and every tree which has fruit yielding seed. It shall be food for you. And to every beast of the sky, and to every bird of the sky, and to everything that moves on the earth which has life, I have given every green plant for food, and it was so. Now, let me stop there and then open to Psalm 126, which I know a lot of us should know by heart now. Psalm 126. Now, there's one part I've never really read. Well, let me read where we've read before. And then, verse 4. Restore our captivity, O Lord, as the streams renew the desert, or as streams in the south. He said, those who sow in tears shall reap with joyful shouting, and he who goes to and fro weeping, carrying his bag of seed or precious seed, like King James says, shall indeed come again with a shout of joy, bringing his sheaves with him. He now said, unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. And unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman keeps awake in vain. He said, it is vain for you to rise up early, to retire late, to eat the bread of painful labors. For he gives to his beloved even in his sleep. Isaiah chapter 30. We read that at length last time. I won't go over everything again. After saying many things, he said in verse 23, then he, that is God, will give you rain for the seed which you will sow in the ground, and bread from the yield of the ground, and it will be rich and plenteous. He said, on that day, your livestock will graze in a roomy pasture. Notice that. Like we said in the last time from verse, Psalm 126 there, it said that when men pray to God, restore our captivity, that is, he said, restore our fortunes. Psalm 126. It said, what God would demand God will make of them is that they must sow in tears in the place that God is going to restore their captivity. Remember what he said? If you read verse 1, he said, when the Lord brought back the captive ones of Zion, he said, we were like those who dream. Then our mouth was filled with laughter and our tongue with joyful shouting. Then they said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. He said, the Lord has done great things for us. He said, that is why we are glad. Then next line, he said, restore our captivity, O Lord. The way I'm interpreting this for us at this point in time is that the men who God restored back to Zion from captivity in Babylon, all right, they met Zion not as a prosperous place. Do you understand my point? But they were happy to be restored at least to their homes. Do you follow me? But then their home was not yet prosperous. But before they went into captivity, they had prosperity. So they said to God, restore our fortunes. If you read the New Living Translations, in translation, oh God, as streams renew the desert. What they were saying that though we are in the place that God has appointed for us to be, our birthright, our home, But currently, we are not seeing prosperity in that place. Do you understand that point? And God now said, this is how I'm going to bring you into a place of prosperity. This is your home. This is your land. This is where I have planted you. This is where I have divinely located you. By reason of my mercy, you have found yourself here. But the place is not yet prosperous. What God is saying is this. Before you came here, the place wasn't prosperous. While you were out away in captivity, it had become overrun by beasts, by wild things. A lot of decadence had come upon the land. That's what God is saying. He said, but because you have come back, now it is time to restore the fortunes and the prosperity that you had in this land. Do you follow my point? But God said, the first thing you will do is to sow, though it might be difficult. He said, those that sow in tears will reap with joyful shouting. Why? That if you are sowing in the land of famine, in the desert, as we are seeing here, what God will do, as we read from Isaiah chapter 30 verse 23, is that he will give you rain for the seed which you will sow in the ground. And because of that, bread from the yield of your ground will come, and it will be rich and plenteous. Are you getting the point I'm making? What I'm saying here is this. It is not that everybody that sows difficult seed will reap prosperity. Are you understanding me? But what God is saying is that you that have called by my name, when you plant seed, I will pour water upon your seed. And I said to you us last time when we were discussing this thing, that what God is saying is this. It is by you that I will bring prosperity into any place. Let us get this clear. God is saying that it is not right to look for prosperity in places, but that because of you, I, the Lord, will cause prosperity to come to certain places. Do you follow that point? That though the land was dry, when you, as a child of God, will plant your seed into that dry ground, God will pour water upon the seed that you have planted just because you planted the seed and you asked God for water upon that seed. I need to say this again and again because, you see, a man of God was preaching recently and I was listening to him and he said something. And my wife got home and laughed and said, how could he have said that? The man said that, God is prospering him and I'm happy for him. And he's going international in ministry. And I said, it's good. Really, it's very good. All right? But he said, the other day they invited him to Malaysia. Was it Malaysia or what country was that? He said, yeah, and he told them, said, no, he's not going to those countries yet because they are not a rich country and that he doesn't want to go there and come back and he'll be looking for how he will now be in debt because he has gone to preach. That no, he's believing God to go to Europe and America first. And so when my wife got home, she looked like, how could he say that? I said, I guess he was joking. He really didn't know what he was saying. Forgive him, O Lord, for he knoweth not what he sayeth. Do you understand the point I am making? That you see, let me tell you what, this thing creeps into our lives. Every day you have to ask God, like David, search me, O Lord. He said, test my heart. Check whether there is any hurtful thing within me. Do you understand my point? Unconsciously, we get carried away into these things. We forget that, you know, when he was saying it, all that was in my mind is that, all I will ask God for, if it were me, is give me money to go and come. Do you understand my point? That even if it will cost me money to go there, the fact that it's a poor country, for me, it's an attraction that I have a message for them. What do I have? Look, I was telling my wife, I said, I have thought about it. What do I have to say to an American? Really, personally, kind of message I preach, he won't understand. Well, maybe I've not been to their country. Maybe he may understand. But really, the kind of angle I come from, I don't know what I'm going to tell him. But where would you like to go? I love to go to the Congo. I love to go to Ghana. I love to go to Cameroon. Really, I want to go to Kenya, Zimbabwe. Countries are like this, that I can tell men what God can give birth to amongst them. Do you follow me? That, let me tell you what, when God wants to bless the earth, I say this to you again and again and again. He sends somebody. Are you getting my point? Anytime God wants to bless the earth, remember what Joseph said concerning his coming into Egypt. He said, God sent me ahead so I can preserve lives. Somebody shared the revelation with me from some of the things that happened in Joseph's life. Man, the thing, let me just share it with you briefly. That's by the way, I've got what I'm saying. He said they saved only 20% for 7 years. Right? Are you getting that? Because of what Joseph told them to do. That 20% preserved serve them for the next 7 years and serve the nations around them. Which meant what? They were wasting 60% the other times. Why? That is 20% could have kept them in those 7 years and they could have saved 80%. Do you understand the point? That is, men have to... Now, this is what I got from what he was saying. Now, he says something else, but this is what I got from it. That God is telling people they have to learn how to tackle abundance. And that life goes in cycles. There will be a season of abundance on the earth. And then, on this earth, there will be a season of privation, when there is little. Not because God cannot continue to bring abundance. But in the time of abundance, he has given you so much, maybe because there's something else he wants to do. So he said, learn how to handle what I'm giving you in the period of abundance so that you will use it. You understand? And the time when you'll have been farming, you will find that you still have abundance. Do you understand the point I am making? Anyway, I don't want to get carried away that I may get down to something like that as we're going on. But the point I want you to understand is that when God wanted to preserve lives, what did he do? He sent Joseph. Get this clear. You are here on this earth on assignment. God has sent you to do something specific. And it is nothing but spiritual ignorance for you to get up and start looking for where you are not needed, but where somebody else has provided something so you can enjoy it. Do you get the point I am making? That is, you must walk through life with the mentality looking for how to affect people's lives, how to affect your generation, how to do great things upon this earth. That's why I say it all the time, that my generation will not say they did not know I came. Not because one day I will be passing and they will find there is a convoy of 20 cars and I'm the biggest black one with black tinted glasses in the middle. So that's how he used to move around. That's not what they will remember me for. Have you ever read a story of a man who lived 100 years ago and they are telling you how he used to eat and be fat? That is not what they tell you. Rather, what you remember is that, I told you that the other time I was telling stories about Henry Ford. What they said about Henry Ford is that before he started making his Model T Ford, maybe about 80% of Americans lived in the villages, the small towns everywhere. And then, now, the proportion I'm giving you is not accurate, but it's something like that. But 20 years afterwards, only 40% were left because he gave them mobility. They could move around now. Now, I'm not judging whether that was good for them or bad because he regretted it. He wanted to persuade people to go back. But the point I want to make is that he was remembered for making cars so cheap that everybody could buy one. And it was, listen, in the United States, it was created with creating what you and I now call the middle class. Are you getting my point? That is, he was remembered for what impacted in people's lives. I want us to get that clear, and that's what we have been saying again and again. And that true wealth, we said, is not that I have so much money, I wear one agbada once. Once I wear a suit, it's once, I don't repeat. I have too much money. You know, there are people who wear clothes like that. That is not what we're talking about. I'm not saying it's bad, though. Let me tell you what. There are things you should not judge as bad until God puts you in those shoes. I know a man. People never used to see him wear one full regalia he used to wear of very beautiful, expensive clothes, but he never used to wear them twice. Do you know why? He had too much. And guess what? He never bought any. He will wake up in the morning, nobody has donated another one. So he will wear it. Now, it's not as if he didn't want to wear it the second time, but he didn't have the opportunity to wear it the second time. Let me ask you a question. How many times in your life have you entered the same bus at the public transport? You can't really count because there are too many buses and you're on the bus level, so you keep entering them. Do you understand the point I am making? Now, so anyway, but he's not going to be remembered for that. In fact, the person I'm talking about is Archbishop Benson Idahosa. If you and I remember him, what do we remember him for? Man, when that guy came to Benin, he shook the very bottom, the base, the foundation of occultism in that town. Everybody respected him. The man preached the gospel when nobody else had the boldness to do the kind of things that he was doing. Some people judge that he did this excessively, but that's not the point. That he did it at all was a sign that God was with him. He preached the gospel of prosperity. Now, every Tom, Dick, and Harry, John, Jack, everybody's preaching it. When nobody else dared it. He was the one that popularized the slogan, "My God is not a poor God." People say, I said, but it's still the truth. God, my God is not a poor God. If your God is a poor God, please put up your hand. I want all the hands down. Do you know why? Because your God is not a poor God. I'm explaining that the man was remembered for the impact he had upon his generation. Are you following me? And that is the mentality as believers we have to work with. Not what we can get, but what we can give. And when the Lord said something is blessed, listen to me, it is literally better. He said it is more blessed to give than to receive. A giver, therefore, will always be on top. Do you understand my point? Now, when I'm talking about giver, not just money now, but somebody who contributes something to life, something to his society, something to his environment, that person will always be on top. And so at the beginning of creation, God spoke to man. He said, be fruitful and multiply. He said, subdue the earth. That is, I have given you something to do. Now, when God says be fruitful, what he's saying is that I have planted in you a seed with which you can do things and produce results. Now, get this point I'm making very clear. When he said be fruitful, this is what God is saying. Adam, one of your great-grandchildren, he said one day you guys will multiply and you will have billions of you upon the earth. And you don't have to waste time running up and down talking to each other, to be able to speak to each other. Be fruitful. Produce mobile phones so that men can walk around and keep in contact with their families and friends. Do you understand my point? Now, they will keep on struggling until somebody will wake up one day and something inside him will cause him to design a mobile phone. And then everybody will begin to use it. Therefore, adding something to the earth upon which he's walking. Do you understand my point? What he has done, therefore, is that he has become fruitful in what he's doing. Do you understand the point I'm making? In the same manner, somebody invented the car engine, the petrol engine. Somebody invented it. There are many things. You go to all kinds of things. Maybe, of course, in technology, you have too many examples. This board we are using now, somebody sat down and invented it. The microphone with which you are speaking did not drop down from heaven. Somebody invented it. What God was saying in effect is this: I have put an invention in your heart. Be fruitful and then multiply. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? What I'm saying is this: there is something that the earth has not yet seen, which is locked inside somebody. And that person, real wealth to him, is when he produces that thing on this earth. Please get this clear. Now, when I say some, it's not only technology. Knowledge, I hope you know, knowledge is one of the most expensive things on this earth. There is something inside you that God has kept there for you to teach the earth. If you don't start teaching it, you are not fruitful. Look, no matter how much money you make selling sand and cement. Do you follow the point I am making? Be fruitful means that I have planted a seed inside you. Go and germinate. Go and produce fruit from the seed that I have planted inside you. Remember the parable of the sower? All he did was, sorry, not the parable of the sower, the talents. He gave somebody a small amount and the person returned and said, see how it has increased the thing that you have given me. Last time I came here, was it last time I read the story about these Econet boys? Was it last time I came here? Okay. That was when see what this man was saying. He said, I see Nigerians line up now. He said, the first day I saw Nigerians line up to buy lines from Econet Wireless, Nigeria. He said, that memory can never leave my head. He said, when I'm dying and I manage a smile and somebody say, are you happy? He said, that will be what I'm thinking about. He said, I was part of it. I was part of it in Botswana. I was part of it in Lesotho. I was part of it in Zimbabwe. I was part of it when it came to pass also in Nigeria. That is, if I die now, there will be a story. They will write the story of my life. Something has been produced on the earth. Be fruitful, meaning that I have placed something, an ability inside you to affect your generation. Listen, that is what God, a country like Nigeria in this season, when I hear what other men have preached concerning this country, listen to me, you will be afraid. That is, what God wants to, I don't know exactly what, but definitely something very great. There's one man called Pa Elton. The man saw a great vision about Nigeria. He packed his load, came here, and tabernacled here and died here. Most of the great ministers you know in Nigeria today are indirectly connected to his coming to Nigeria. Many of them he personally trained. Many of them he personally mentored. Many of them He affected indirectly. And people like Archbishop Benson in the house, all, a lot of these big men, what was it, the W.F. Kumi, E. Adeboye, all these great men, almost all of them, he touched their lives. They touched other people's lives. And the people that they touched their lives are touching other people's lives. When Jesus was praying, he said, I'm not praying for these ones alone, but I'm praying for those who will believe through their words. Get my point? The man touched people the word of God. He touched people's lives, and they are touching other people also. He has grandchildren spiritually. He was a white man. I don't know exact country he came from. His daughter is still in Nigeria. Because he saw a vision. But you know, when God does not open your eyes, you will get up and be running helter-skelter. I told you something before, that when Jesus said, the kingdom of God is like a pearl of precious, a precious thing that a man found in the ground. Then he went and sold all that he had and bought that piece of land. He bought it from somebody. The man didn't know what was inside his ground. That's why sometimes we take decisions because we are blind. And actually, that's what I want to share with us today. Romans chapter 3. Maybe this is where we'll stay in most of our discussion today. It says, but now apart from the law, verse 21, the righteousness of God has been manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ, for all those who believe, for there is no distinction. Why? For all have sinned, and as a consequence of their sins, they fall short of the glory of God. Now, back to what I was saying, Paul is saying here. He said, being justified as a gift by his grace through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus, whom God displayed publicly as a sacrifice or propitiation in his blood through faith. He said, this was to demonstrate his righteousness, because in the forbearance of God, he passed over the sins previously committed. Let me stop here because the rest might carry me off from what I wanted to say. Let me just emphasize something here. He said, apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been manifested, been witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all those who believe. For there is no distinction. He said, for all have sinned, and the sin made them short of the glory of God. Now, I want to tie something with us here today. Because you see, one of the problems I had in the past, well, I don't have so much of that problem anymore because now I have an understanding in that area, is why, now, there's something somebody said before I tell you about my problem in the past. A friend in church and a pastor in my church were discussing that day, and he said that he has noticed that most motivational books, all right, are written by Christians, believers. That if you see maybe someone like John Mason is a Christian, you know, Miles Monroe, they are Christians. These people write a lot of motivational books, challenging people to get up. One of the most popular ones they had in the U.S., what's his name now? He's late now. The Baptist minister. Norman Vincent Peale. Now, this man, well, in my own opinion, he turned around the mentality of the average American into what he called the positive thinking. He calls it the power of positive thinking. Let me tell you something. Spiritual things always have consequences in the physical. And let me take the other way around. Physical things are based upon spiritual laws. Do you get the point I'm making? Physical things are based upon spiritual laws. Now, when you see, you know, you've heard this saying before, he that the gods want to destroy, what do? They first make them crazy. They first make them mad. Now, the point I'm making is this. The gods, using that one as an expression now, they don't just destroy the person. The first thing they do is to make him mad. Remember when God, no, this is a very sound spiritual principle. When God was going to break off the tribes of Israel, all right, from Judah, when he was going to give 10 tribes to one king and then keep the other one for the house of David, what was the first thing he did? He made Rehoboam a crazy person. Solomon, towards his last days, became a stupid king. You understand my point? And for that reason, God said, I'm going to take the kingdom away from him. But because of my servant David, I will not take everything away from him. I had made a promise to my servant David. And again, because of my servant David, I will not take it during the lifetime of Solomon. So he was going to take it during the lifetime of Rehoboam. Try as he may, Rehoboam has no choice but to make wrong decisions. Let me tell you something. Today, as I was traveling, I came back this afternoon. Okay, I traveled down somewhere. And so in the car we're coming, we're four in the car, four adult men, you know. In fact, I should be the youngest among the people in the car. I was driving, and we're discussing, you know, experienced men in life. And one of them was telling the story. Okay, as we drove into town, I saw a building being constructed somewhere. So I said, what's happening there? He said, this bank is building. I said, did they buy this plot of land? He said, no, they leased it. He said, the young man who owns that land, his father made money. And right now, the guy is selling everything his father made. His every material thing his father gathered. You know, Solomon said, he's gathering. He doesn't know whether his son will be a stupid son. That this boy, he said, listen, this boy earns millions of naira from each deal. Then he will smoke, drink, and pursue women. And the senior Mumbai police officer that was sitting beside him, he said, those are the things that will kill a man. And he said, this guy talking at the back said, I have called him, I have talked to him. Why do you do this? Why don't you do this? I felt like telling him, sir, he's not him. Now, I don't know exactly what happened to him, but there's probably a seed in the money that he inherited, which is driving him crazy. Do you get the point I'm making? That is, God has said this money must not last. As long as he puts his hand to it, madness will enter his head. Now listen, in fact, look, I don't know about the guy much, but one thing I'm sure of, if that guy gives his life to Christ, don't think he will not know how to manage that money. God will say, sell all that you have, give it to the poor, then come and follow me. I don't want that money. Are you getting the point I'm making? I'm explaining a principle that you see, this man, you know, we will sit down and say, why is this guy like this? There are forces on the earth that are beyond the man. Remember David prayed. He said, when my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. That is, there are times that things happen. It's you that's observing that things that what this guy is doing is wrong. Even he probably thinks they are wrong. But when it is time to make that decision, he just finds that something beyond him overtakes him. That's why Paul said, who will deliver me from this body of sin? Do you follow the point I am making? That is, I will to do right. When I sit down, what I want to do is the right thing. But that which I want to do, I find that I can't do it. That which I don't want to do, that is exactly what I am doing. So he shouted, who will deliver me from this body of death? That is, this body of death that's injecting decay into my system. I don't want it, but I can't deliver myself. I'm explaining a principle that, you see, when you're talking, remember I started talking about motivational books and stuff like that, you will find out that when a people are going to go into decadence, that is when God wants to take away their captive, their freedom and their prosperity, one of the first things that you will notice is that they start making very stupid decisions. Do you understand me? Now, sometimes we think that, why shouldn't this man stop making this kind of decision? But what is happening is that God has proposed, or let me say, there are spiritual laws that have been put in place which have decided that this guy is coming to an end. Now, let's take it the other way around. When God wants to prosper people also, he does not just rain abundance from heaven. Jesus said, I have come to preach deliverance to the captives. I tell them about deliverance. I don't just deliver them. Do you get what I'm going to say? You preach deliverance to the captives. He said, listen, the deaf hear, the lame walk, the blind see, the dead are raised, but the poor, they have what? The gospel preached to them. You tell them about it. It's their response to what they are hearing that will lift them out of poverty. Now listen. So when God wants to bless a nation like America, then he will take a man like Norman Desempio and tell him, before this man can prosper, they must think positively. So the man will arise and begin to preach the power of positive thinking. Are you getting what I'm going to say? And he's fruitful in what he's saying. then it begins to multiply in other people's lives. Are you getting me? In the same manner, you see, to sustain, you see, there's one spiritual law you have to understand. And that is that the same way you get a result is the only way you will maintain that result. Do you understand me? The Bible said, "By God made all things by his word. In the beginning was the word. Without him was nothing made that has been made." But Hebrews chapter 1 also tells us that he upholds all things by that same word of his power. Are you getting my point? Now, so in the same manner this man prospered, people who may not be directly related physically to Vincent Peale will still keep on preaching his message. Otherwise, their prosperity will come to an end. Are you getting me? So, you find that God will therefore pour light upon people. People like John Mason will get up. And, you know, open to Isaiah chapter 40. Let me show you something there. It will interest you. This is the principle. That's why somebody like me, I am persuaded that's why God is raising me up. Do you understand what I say? Isaiah chapter 40. Let me start from verse 1. I won't read everything. Say, comfort. Oh, comfort my people, says the Lord. Speak kindly to Jerusalem. You have to understand the power of words. The way by which we comfort the people of God is to do what? Speak kindly to them. It's the power of words. That's why Jesus preaches the gospel to the poor. He said, and call out to her that her warfare has ended. Because if you don't tell her her warfare has ended, she will remain under captivity. Her mentality will still be that of somebody in bondage. I hope you are following me what I'm saying. Now, last week I was speaking in my office to people. People who were grown, who had experience. Some of them, one of them I guess, may even have children that will be close to me in age. And we're talking about Nigeria. I said, all we need is peace in Nigeria. And the way we are going, we will definitely prosper. Is it? Eh? He said, one day Nigeria will rule the world, that he has been told. That Nigeria will rule the world. He said, but that is because the whole of the rest of the world will have moved so fast, they will have gone to Mars and Jupiter. Only us will remain, so we'll rule the world. I said, that is not true. I said, that is not true. That all I pray to from God is peace for this nation, and we will definitely prosper. The guy shook his head. He said, we need 36 independent countries in Nigeria. I said, it doesn't work. This season, people are coming together. They are not separating. And by the time you start separating, where will you stop? Even when you separate down to, you get to the house of Ilu Abacha and divide them to single, that's when Izuchukwu will look at Ikechukwu. We may look alike, but we are not the same. Then once you start dividing, you don't know where you will stop. Anyway, let's just leave that. But the point I want to make is this. And when the man was speaking, I told myself, if this is how an average person is reasoning, no wonder we have not been going anywhere. I told us that the greatest weapon you have is what? Your faith. When you tune on the TV and they tell you you are a useless country and you accept it, you will never sow seed into that country. I hope you know that. You will depart from here, go to, let me think of one Eastern European country, Bulgaria, and you will be digging pit latrine there, and it will be honorable in your heart because you have faith in them. But if they come here and say, dig a gutter, you say, in this country, over my dead body, what has the country done to you? Nothing. But somebody wakes up every morning, tells you how useless everybody is, and that in fact you are going nowhere. And for that reason, you don't plant any seed anywhere. I hope you are relating what I'm saying. Now, speak kindly to Jerusalem, he's saying, that is, tell the people of God that their warfare has ended. If they don't accept it, they will remain in captivity. The things they could have arisen and to and done, they wouldn't do it because they say, I am yet a captive. I still have troubles. They keep waking up and saying, no, there is no future. Now, I told you, I was talking to this person. Look, I thank God because at the end of the day, we're three. I was on talking, there were two other people. And the lady amongst us said, listening to you alone has given me some courage. We talked for just about 5-10 minutes. He said, you really have faith in this country. I said, I do. He said, you are infecting me with it. You know why? Because I am persuaded concerning what I'm saying. And listen, when you have faith like that, he said, this is the victory that has overcome the world. That is, every negative thing they told you that will happen to you, this is why you will overcome it, because of faith. What I'm saying, I believe you're following it. You're following it. So God is saying here, speak kindly to them. Tell them their warfare has ended. That her iniquity has been removed. One of the things I told those people, they said that an average person, I said, listen, God has never used everybody. God has never used everybody. When he brought out the whole of the nation of Israel and took them down towards the promised land and finally ended them there, there were only three people that fully followed God. I hope you know. Moses, Joshua, and Caleb. Aaron was an attachment, get my point, a help for Moses. He had no head of his own. I mean, I don't have to show you that from scriptures. You can see it. When Moses vanished for 40 days, in those 40 days, the man had built an ark and said, it is the people. He said, I put the gold into the fire and this calf came out. The calf grew legs and came out of the fire. Brother Aaron. Everything, but it's not me. Anybody else, not me. Aaron didn't have a head. Do you know why God chose Joshua after Moses? When Moses would depart from the presence of God, Joshua would remain behind and just sit down there to behold his glory. Caleb testified, he said, Moses promised me this mountain because I followed God fully. Those are the only three people there. Yet God brought out millions because of those three people. Are you following what I'm trying to say? In the same manner, if you count those of us who are here, everybody here believing what I'm saying is enough reason for God to pull out the whole of Nigeria into a promised land. I hope you are relating with what I'm saying. That is, when I think about it, I alone, I am good enough reason for prosperity in this land. Only me. And my wife too. And when I bless my son every morning, he's joined in the chorus. That is, look, listen, that's how God works. He has never worked with everybody. But let me get down to what I'm saying. Now, let me just, because of time, let me jump down to verse 9. Jump down to verse 9. It said, get yourself up on a high mountain, O Zion, bearer of good news. Lift up your voice mightily, O Jerusalem, bearer of good news. Lift it up, do not fear. Say, oh God, the power of words. Say to the cities of Judah, here is your God. Behold, the Lord God will come with might, with his arm ruling for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his recompense before him. Like a shepherd, he will tend his flock, and in his arm he will carry the lambs, and carry them in his bosom. He will gently lead the nursing ewes. Now listen to what he's saying here. He said, again, in this turning of captivity thing, get up a high mountain and say to Zion, behold your God. Now, the point I want you to understand is this. When you give men words and you point them in a direction with those words, that is what brings prosperity into their lives. That's why people like John Mason are actually necessary for a society to remain strong. After people like Norman Vincent Peale had pulled them out of depression with his words. So people like them will keep on talking. You can do it. Now listen, Gentiles will flow to your light. Get me? Even those who don't understand why he's saying it. As long as they are doing what he's saying, God will cause them to prosper. Listen to me what I'm saying. That you see, when God wants to prosper a people, spiritual things begin to take on physical forms. You start seeing men talking in common language, principles of success. But don't let me get it too far away from what I'm saying. In Romans chapter 3 that we read, it said, all have sinned, and what? They fall short for that reason of the glory of God. What is the glory of God? There's one scripture that I found that will just illustrate what I want to say about the glory of God. Open to 1 Chronicles chapter 16. I was telling you earlier that what's my problem? I used to listen. Now, please, pause for a moment and listen to me. I was telling you earlier that I used to have one problem. I will sit down and read a book. In fact, I had that problem with Norman Vincent Peale for a long time. There's this guy, a minister. He doesn't mention the name of Jesus. He doesn't give God glory in all these things that he's in. This man that built a crystal cathedral, I stopped listening to him for that reason, or for reading his book. Robert Schulman, the one who his own was possibility thinking. I said, these men don't preach the gospel, so they don't qualify to be called preachers. Until recently, Brother Modoc too used to do that. And I couldn't understand. One of my friends said, why does he call himself an evangelist? But recently, I think he has been aligned. Now, but there's something I want to understand. Now, those men will speak, all right? And then I used to wonder, look, this guy is not preaching the gospel. Now, get this very clear, all right? I'm still persuaded some of the things they said were not directly which words do I use now? Okay, when I find the words, I will tell you what I want to say. But because of the gospel light they had, they saw something which was a sound principle, and they taught it to men who didn't have faith. I don't know what you get what I say. It's like an adult chewing meat for a child. You know, you chew it, then give the child. You know, that kind of thing. It's like breaking it down to small pieces so as to give them a place on the earth. Nothing in heaven anyway. You understand what I say? All right? Not, you know, something for the life that now is, but nothing for the life to come. Because only the gospel, the raw gospel of Jesus can do that for you. However, if somebody's hungry and I give him 20 naira, go and eat. When he eats, he'll be full. I hope you know that. Whether he's a believer or non-believer, he will eat and the food will enter in his stomach and he'll give him some strength. In the same manner, there are words that you feed a soul of man and it lifts him up from the place of hunger to a place of feeling full without telling him the truth, the deepest part of the truth. Are you getting my point? Now, what I want to bring out is this. The ability to see... No, wait. Let me put pause there. Let's read 1 Chronicles chapter 16. I'll tie it together. Don't worry. I hope I'm not confusing you. If you are following me, say amen. Say very loudly, please.
Amen.
God bless you. 1 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 24.